It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
And hello, sports fans. It's the Who's On First Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. This is episode number 3, and it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. That's right. There are 5 shows on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We'll start out with number 1, Rubbin' and Grubbin', Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock, YouTube, Facebook. Dan Foles and Brandon Baines talk all things NASCAR, and they get free food from John Henderson. Okay, then the Coach and AD, we do our Wednesday night live update, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. Then we come back on Saturday morning and do it at 9 a.m. All right, so that's number 2. Number 3, starting in the Soundgarden, you got the 19th hole with the Herb brothers, Brett and Sean Herb, breaking down the Masters. And it's a lot of fun. It's adultish. They got a lot of guests lined up. You'll love it. Check it out. Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So that's 3. Now we have 2 podcasts. Okay, of course, the one that's been going the longest, all right, has been the Hot Grits podcast with Spencer Maddox and Travis Jordan. They break down everything sports-wise. They do a great job locally, nationally. You got to check it out. Now, I know that's adultish, okay, so make sure you're not around any little kids. And, of course, we're back in the saddle again. 4 years on the radio, now back on the internet doing a baseball show podcast. We love what we're doing. It's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. Kyle, play ball, buddy. We're in full swing. Things are heating up. I know you're excited about it. I'm excited about it. Our teams aren't winning, but what are you going to do?
You know, it's been a crazy few days, but, I mean, everybody has been able to get a series in with the exception of the Nationals. They had some issues with several of their players contracting COVID. And it was a pretty crazy weekend. I know it was a tough one for the Braves. They go 0-3, and we'll get to that and break that down a little bit. But I was about to say, I mean, there was a bench-clearing brawl, between the Cardinals and the Reds, which was just silly.
There were no fist thrown.
Oh, no. It's a baseball.
It wasn't a baseball brouhaha. It wasn't a baseball brouhaha. You know, we're not having bats thrown at Juan Marichal, so you know what I mean.
Yeah, I was about to say, no one's ever going to top that Marichal-Roseboro incident. Yeah, that video was nuts. I found a clip of that on YouTube. It's black and white, but it's still pretty wild. But
it's crazy.
One of the craziest things, biggest takeaway for me, like over the weekend, or the thing that shocked me the most, Shohei Ohtani, you know, the two-way pitcher and slugger for the Los Angeles Angels. Over the weekend, he hits a 451-foot home run, and then he tops out at 101 miles an hour over 7 innings. Now, he missed most of last year because of Tommy John. That was just ridiculous, and that was a skyscraper of a home run. I couldn't believe that. And then
hold on, before you go on.
What you got?
Excuse me. The best thing about that, because I watched it. I was watching it.
Oh,
you heard the crack of the bat. And, you know, there's not many people in the stadium because we're doing this COVID-19 attendance reduction. I'm telling you, I got goosebumps when I heard that ball go off his bat. I knew as soon as that pop or that crack, it was gone. And it was gone and pretty quick.
Oh, that got out of there in a hurry. There were a lot of big home runs. I mean, you know, several guys for my Cubbies, you know, hit, Jason Hayward, you know, former Brave. He cranked one about 4:30 the other day, and the wind was blowing in a little bit. So he didn't miss that one. Now, the big thing you mentioned, that there are fans in the stadium. There was nothing cooler than seeing fans out there catching foul balls, just enjoying themselves, you know, and I just hope I can get to a game somehow, some way this year. But like we said before, Coach, 0-3 start for the Braves, and really nothing to get in a big twist over. The bats for the Big Boppers just went cold. Freeman, Acuna, and Ozuna were a collective 3-for-32 over the weekend. And really, you can't do that. It's the lowest amount of runs they've scored since 2003. And I remind you, Coach, in 03, what did they do? They won 101 games, and they scored 907 runs. That is still a franchise record. So everybody take a deep breath. Now, what'd you think about the starting pitching? Great starts from Fried, Morton, and Anderson. Looked fantastic.
Kyle, I've been saying this, whether I was on the radio or on the internet, I've been saying this all along. Mm-hmm. Braves fans jump off the bandwagon right away, and they get frustrated. They want to quit on the Braves and why the Braves aren't doing this. Meanwhile, they're back-to-back NL East champions. And like you said, it's a long season. You know, last year, their bullpen relief was horrible until they got into where
first half of the season was horrendous. It was horrendous.
But, you know, that's what Braves fans do. They jump the bandwagon. They jump off the bandwagon, and they start getting, this isn't going right. They're not hitting the ball. It's still early. You're playing 162. I love that, by the way. You're playing 162, not 154, not 60. You're playing a full season. It's too early. It's way too early. There's no baseball team that has ever gone undefeated this season. Never. So
You're going to win 40. You're going to lose 40. Everybody take a deep breath. Now, the Braves do had an off day because of some rescheduling involving the upcoming National Series. So they're going to get back to it today. Today's a 4:05 start, so you can catch that. And they're going to have Drew Smyly going today, and you know who's going to be anchoring the back of that rotation. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how deep he's going to go. Obviously, he's had his injury issues, but really come back and shown that his arm is strong enough. Now, tomorrow, you're going to see a twin bill. You're going to see a 12:05 start, and then they should be getting started. I think it'll be a 6:05 or 7:05 start. Now, this is
no,
go ahead.
No. It might be a little earlier. Remember, they're only playing 7 innings.
See, that's right. Okay. You are correct. I forgot they're keeping with the 7-inning doubleheader rule. So they will be getting started, though. That's a 12:05. So, I'll get that time.
You're about 4:35 o'clock. We're going to get that set.
Yeah, that's probably about right. You know, you're probably looking at more of a 4:05 start. But what's interesting, and Mark Bowman, you know, great staff writer, for MLB.com. He's covered the Braves for years. Looks like Huascar Noah, basically he's a long man out of the bullpen. It looks like they're going to do a bullpen game. You see him probably going about 3 innings, and then you're going to see a mix and match. There's no probable for that second game. So I'll be interested to see, you know, who they're going to bring in for that start, whether they do a bullpen. We're going to find out about that a little bit more tomorrow, but that's kind of the only update I have on that. But, you know, a lot of big news. The Braves, obviously get off to this rough start, but everybody in the pitching staff limited Philadelphia hitters to 3 runs or less in at least the 5 innings that they pitched. Strong starts.
Here you go, baseball fanatic, Mr. Statman. Coming out of the first weekend, okay, I'm quoting this from the article you gave me, 3 things in mind to keep about the Braves. Coming out of the first weekend, the Braves rank 4th in MLB with a 90.8 mile-per-hour average exit velocity. The Phillies were 28th with 85 miles per hour. So the Braves hit the ball.
Oh, yeah.
They hit somebody.
But that's just it. That's just tough luck. Eventually, those are going to drop in the gap. You're going to beat the shift. You're going to get those are going to fall in for doubles. It was just a tough way to go. It was a hard luck, you know, at bats for a lot of guys. And I mean, again, you know, you've got to think about it. You're going to play Philadelphia at home for the home opener coming up this weekend. It's not hard to make up those games. And I have a feeling the Braves are going to come back and answer the bell and hopefully at least take 2 out of 3 this weekend.
Well, you know, they're going to start with who's pitching today.
So you're looking at Drew Smyly, veteran Drew Smyly. He'll be going today at 4:05.
And he's going against?
He's going against Scherzer. So this is going to be a tough start. Yeah, Max Scherzer, former, you know, Cy Young Award winner. Drew's got to come in there and absolutely fire bullets. But more importantly, you know, the big boys, Freeman, Acuna, Ozuna, they got to come and hit. They flat out got to break the bats out. And I'm sure this is going to be a much better week. It was just a weird weekend for the Braves. Nothing fell for them, but they did get some good starting pitching. So Braves Nation, take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay.
Do we find anything about Chris Martin? You know, they took him out of the game. He got hurt in one of those games. They find anything about him?
Yeah, as of right now, it's kind of day to day per Brian Snitker. They should have an update on him tomorrow. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. But yeah, it was a shame to see him come out because he's going to be a big part of that bullpen.
Where do we go next?
Well, I got to tell you this. We do have to touch on it because this is big national news. Of course, the All-Star game was scheduled to be played at Truist Park this year. Due to the political climate, it has been moved to Coors Field in Colorado. And really, it's just more unfortunate for the city of Atlanta and for Braves fans as a whole, because that is a beautiful ballpark. And a lot of, I mean, it projected to, you know, cost the city over $100 million in lost revenue. So, you know, without getting political, I mean, it's a shame that Braves fans aren't going to have their All-Star game in their new park. I think that will probably – there will be an All-Star game played there at some point, but right now they moved to Coors Field in Denver. So there's really not much more you can say about it other than it was a difficult situation. Rob Manfred and MLB made their stance known, you know, and, I mean, there's really nothing you can say other than, you know, Braves are having this taken away from them, and I just hope that they get one back at Truist down the line.
Well, you know, you're going to get the old ball coach's opinion. You know, I grew up where you didn't hear anything about ball players. Okay. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s. In the 80s, that's when everything started to surface about the ball players' private life and what's going on in their private life. And, you know, before then, the beat reporter wouldn't say a word about things that might have gone wrong with a ball player. But now in our society, because of this mass social media conglomerate that can get any information anytime it wants, it causes issues. Now, I'm not going to get into political points about voting and all that other stuff is, but yeah, we're going to take into consideration what society is going through right now. We're going through a change.
Correct.
But I just don't understand, and I'm not just talking about MLB. I'm talking about all sports. All sports now have some sort of political tie because the players are more vocal. The players can get how they feel out there than it used to be with the old pen and paper or the typewriter. So we're getting into a lot of different factors. And I think that's what society is going to be all about. You know, take it from a coach. I tell my kids in school, athletes, watch what you do on social media. Watch what you do in society because people are going to attach you to that. And it can either help you or it hurts you. And you know what?
Very true.
I give these athletes today a lot of credit because they're finally stepping up and they're saying how they feel. Back then, right, you couldn't do it because if you did it, you had no remorse. And the owners of the sports franchises could do whatever they want.
Oh, yeah. If you stepped out of the, you know, the party line with ownership, that's just it. They'll trade you. They'll get rid of you. I mean, that didn't happen. I mean, you look at, you know, I'm glad, again, I'm really glad you said that because I do like the fact that players do have these outlets to go out there, you know, and express how they feel. And, you know, that's just how it is. But everybody can find out something. But, I mean, there's so many different outlets to get information these days. It's going to come out one way or another. But once again, MLB came out, made their stance, and they flat out moved the All-Star game. There's nothing else you can say. Once again, it'll be at Coors Field in Denver. And we'll see if Atlanta gets to host one in the next couple of years. I know several teams actually threw their hats in the ring for that. I know Baltimore. I know my Cubs did. And but, yeah, it looks like it's going to Colorado. So interesting last, you know, week just to get this season started. We're not even a week into the baseball season. And I mean, there's just a million things to talk about, you know, even beyond the Braves right now. But, you know, I mean, I plan, you know, my whole day, you know, when we get done here, I'm turning on MLB Network. I've got my MLB TV app that I pay for every year. I'm going to start flipping around and watching all the games. Unfortunately, the Braves are always blacked out for me, which is pretty frustrating.
Oh, I mean, even on the MLB Network, I mean, MLB package, it's blacked out.
Because I am in the Braves radius, you know, so they just assume, you know, you'd be able to watch it. I listen to the games all the time. I have to watch the replay afterwards. So anyway, that's just me complaining.
Back to old school. I mean, when we used to have to listen on the radio and you had to wait for the, I mean, when I was growing up, the first thing I did as a little kid was get the sports page so I could look at the box score. I think that's a lost art, too, that nobody goes into the box score and goes in there and looks at exactly what's going on. And, you know, it brings us back to those days. But, you know, in today's world, that to black out, I mean, they're getting so much money from so many different sources. I mean, that's the problem with baseball. I mean, they got to start opening it up, which is a great point to talk about. They got to start opening up back to the fans. Everything's not just all about the money. Yes, I know it's entertainment, but if you want to bring the fans back, throw them a bone.
Yeah, and I mean, they really need to find different ways to, I mean, to broaden the game. Your fan bases are getting older. I mean, this is, I'm kind of glad this took a turn because, I mean, yeah, I've been a baseball fan my entire life. And, you know, but also the average age of, you know, baseball fans is in their early 50s now, roughly. And you need to find ways to get, you know, younger generations interested in the game. You need to make it more accessible on social media platforms. And, I mean, MLB, I think, has kind of slipped up as far as being able to do that. They really need to, you know, reach out. The blackout rule is really just that's the only problem I have with it, you know, because I want to be able to watch any game I want. Now, I can get all the Cub games, but I can't get the Braves games because I live, I don't know, 4.5 hours away from Atlanta. Okay, and I'm in that radius. Get out of here.
But you're paying the money, too, so you should be able to get it. That's what kills me.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, and perfect segue. We got to bring the fans back into the ballgame. But first, before I go there, remember, you're listening to Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the Baseball Fanatic. We're part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We're back on the air, 4 years on the radio, now back on the internet, and all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And you're talking about this organization, which is going to be part of our show every week, bringing the fans back in the park. Well, I'm excited about talking to this next guy. He started when the bananas started. I call him the broadcast wizard of the sky now over at Grayson Stadium, because this man can work a drone in a baseball game. I'm surprised it hasn't been hit yet, but I guess he's got pretty quick controls there. But joining us now on the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, the president of the Savannah Bananas and the wizard of the skies over Grayson Stadium, Jared Orton. Jared, great to see you.
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
I'm doing good.
And we're talking how to get people in the stands. We're talking about how MLB blacks out. And you're paying money for it. Hey, you can go to Savannah Bananas Insiders, pay $4.95, and you never get blacked out.
We were just talking about this the other day. You know Barry Aldridge. I think he's been on this show a couple times. He got an ad on Facebook for MLB TV, and it had the Braves player on there. And he screenshotted it and said, wait, you're advertising to me, a Braves fan, to get MLB TV, and I know I'm going to be blacked out. You know, and it's like, what are we doing here? I was pretty fascinated by that type of advertising.
Well, it's definitely crazy. Jared Orton, meet Kyle Lawson, the Baseball Fanatic. We've been doing this for 4 years now. We have a lot of fun talking baseball.
Yeah.
Well, why not? We're in Savannah, Georgia. We have some baseball here in Savannah, Georgia. You guys do it. So this is our bananas section where we can go bananas. So why not bring in the man that's been there since 2016? Yeah. Did you ever think that the bananas, after you guys took a lot of ridicule for naming the team the bananas, now we got the hamburgers, we got the bacon. I mean, people are going this way. Did you ever imagine this when you signed up to get involved in this with crazy Jessie Cole? And, of course, she's not crazy. She runs the show, Emily Cole.
Yeah. You know, when we first came to this, our thought was just, can we bring baseball back to Savannah? I don't think we ever had this grand vision of, like, you know, this kind of worldwide phenomenon and the merchandise and the streaming and going to different cities. You know, we just thought, hey, Grayson Stadium, it needs baseball back. We want to bring the fans back. We want to bring entertainment. And, you know, that's what we set out to do. And it's just been amazing how the fans have responded to this. And they have totally bought in to this entertainment, great baseball, great fun. You know, whether you're 2 years old or 102 years old, we think there's something for someone here at the ballpark every night. And that's the fun we want to bring back to baseball.
Yeah. And Jared, well, first off, it was at the Trade Center. I remember I met you, yeah. You know, when things were getting started and we're bringing in, okay, we're learning. I'm like, so what exactly is going on? Okay. We got the Coastal Plains League, you know, I'm like a league that I was not familiar with. Of course I'm familiar with college summer ball, you know, Cape Cod League and whatnot. But, you know, I was really interested to see how it would go. And yeah, I remember when the name came out, I'm like, bananas. Okay. And they got these, the uniform sort of reminded me, it's, you know, like you look at the Pittsburgh Pirates of the 70s, you look at the swinging A's, and, you know, it's like these, you you can't mistake that uniform for anything else.
Right.
Yeah. And, so I know the Coastal Plains season gets started in earnest at the end of May.
Right.
And so just for those who may not know, talk me through the amount of games that are going to be played in this year's Coastal Plains season.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right on that, because when we first came here, you know, professional baseball had existed here for, you know, 90 some odd years. I mean, the greats have come through here. All the barnstorming that came through here, you know, we put all the plaques up on the wall of, you know, the Hank Aarons and the Jackie Robinsons and the Babe Ruths and Ted Williams. I mean, just, you know, every name you could ever imagine stepped foot on these grounds. And here we come in as this college summer league team. And it was like, oh, is that a slap in the face to the level of what, you know, Grayson Stadium deserves? And it was a lot of educating, like, hey, this is not Major League Baseball, but we're going to bring a level of college players who are the best college players in the country, who have the opportunity to be drafted by any, you know, any major league team from the minor league draft. And we're going to bring this level of entertainment that fans can absolutely love. And it's not just about, oh, there's 70 baseball games here. And so for our Coastal Plain League season, like you mentioned, you know, we've got teams all the way from Georgia to South Carolina to North Carolina up into Virginia. And it's become a really amazing thing. I mean, thousands of players have been drafted out of this league. You know, we've had our share of guys. I think, you know, we've actually got two guys that got invited to big league spring training as part of the expanded spring training rosters. Actually, Braden Shoemake, who plays in the Braves organization, might have a chance at some point to crack crack Truist Park. So we've got some exciting guys that have come through here, and, you know, they have this level of entertainment and level of baseball. We've got basically a 50 some odd game season this year. Tyler Gillum is coming back for his fourth season as manager of the team. He's bringing back most of his assistants. We've got some of our guys coming back. And it's become this really cool thing that, you know, the guys and the coaches and the players and the staff, they look forward to summers in Savannah. And that's really fun to be a part of.
Well, one thing real quick.
We're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball podcast with Coach Paul DeMasi and Kyle Lawson. We have a special guest on the Coach's Corner hot seat. I don't know if that banana is going to get soft, but once again, we got Vice President of the Bananas and the Wizard of the Skies of Grayson Stadium, Jared Orton. So it's been a lot of fun. So go ahead, there, Kyle. Sorry to step on you, but we got to plug the show, buddy, and we got to plug the Bananas.
Yeah, otherwise you won't know what you're listening to. There you go.
Right.
Okay, my bad. Okay, real quick. Now, I've tried to describe, like, the level of play in the Coastal Plains League.
Yep.
I give it to, you know, I use a hockey example. It reminds me a lot of junior hockey. Mm-hmm. These guys are playing, you know, playing in, you know, top leagues in order to get drafted. I said that is
right.
The best, simplest way
yes.
I can describe it. And but I had one more question before I throw it back to the coach. I love the videos. How much fun do the players and coaches have making those?
So that was a thing that we had talked about for a long time was, you know, is there an element of culture that's created here that maybe makes the players play better because they have more fun and they're relaxed and they can actually enjoy themselves on the baseball field? And so there was there's a professor over at Georgia Southern who has actually kind of been studying the statistical evidence of what's the net increase of statistical evidence when these guys come to Savannah. And, you know, we kind of made the joke, oh, they have more fun, so they play better. You know, they play better in kilts. They play better in yellow uniforms. They play better when they're dancing, whatever. And he was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. I don't think that translates. So he started studying it, and he found that Savannah was basically the only team where if you take all the players' college stats from when they were at their college and compare them to their stats in the Coastal Plain League, it was the only team that had a positive correlation between how they performed at their college compared to how they played in the Coastal Plain League with the Savannah team. And it was not just home games. He found it in away games too, which he felt like meant this culture that's been created by the coaches and poured into these players is relevant throughout their experience here. And so I think it's a testament to the guys who come here, who know what to expect, and the coaching staff saying, hey, it's important that we create a really fun environment for our players and our fans. And then it's important that we play really well on the field as well. And you bring those two together, and it's a pretty special summer.
I mean, it's always special when you enter those hollow grounds at Grayson Stadium. And
yeah.
So it's a little off of the interview here, but, you know, you've been around baseball for a very long time, minor league baseball and so forth. All right, Mr. Baseball, is a hot dog a sandwich or its own entity?
So I think it's its own entity because here's the way I describe it. If you went over to, what's the local grocery store here? If you went down to Red and White store here, or if you went down to Kroger or I don't know if Whole Foods sells hot dogs. Anyways, you go down there and you ask for a hot dog, they're going to give you 8, you know, individual hot dog pieces of meat in a bag. You know, the bun is totally separate, you know, so it's kind of a hot dog is just the meat. This thing that it's wrapped in is just a whole nother animal. A sandwich to me requires 2 pieces of bread. That's a sandwich, and whatever you put on your toppings. I know you like the Italian subs, coach over there at the New York Deli.
Rockies, New York Deli.
That place is killer. I think that's a definition of a sandwich. These hot dogs, they stand alone.
All right, so. There are a bunch of Major League ballparks are throwing out new sandwiches. And we're talking about the Braves going to the Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. They're coming out with the Grazzi, 8 pieces of Italian meat on a hero or a sub, whatever you want to call it, wherever you are, a grinder. Okay, now we know we got the famous nacho garbage can food at Grayson Stadium. Any crazy food coming out this summer?
We're working on some stuff. You know, when we were in Gastonia, we had done, I'm trying to think, we did like a donut hamburger one time, you know, 2 Krispy Kremes with some burger in between. There was a pizza burger. This was actually, I think, was probably the best one. The pizza burger, you take 2 slices of pizza, cheese pizza with the sauce and everything, slam them together with a burger in between. That's a pretty good sandwich right there, pizza sandwich. We're really trying to figure out funnel cakes this year. I think a funnel cake is a staple of going to a baseball game. Just that smell, you know, around the 6th inning, you've already had your hot dogs, you've had your hamburger, you had a couple beers. Just that smell of, you know, that fresh, hot funnel cake dough with some powdered sugar and chocolate sauce on it. But then we thought, what if we made a deep fried banana split? And you had the deep fried dough, but then you had some ice cream, fresh banana, then you had some cherries, maybe some whipped cream, chocolate sauce, and you called it a deep fried banana split. We think that might be something that we got to figure out.
I think you got something there, actually. That'll move up with something.
So, but all right, last question for the coach, and we'll see if the fanatic has any, because I know you got your day booked. Okay. So what's it like controlling the skies over Grayson Stadium? You're the wizard of the drone of Grayson Stadium. What's it like? I mean, how does that drone not get hit by a baseball?
The views of a live baseball game 30 feet around the infield as the drone kind of pans around the infield, especially if there's a guy on first and you can kind of hover around this guy on first and then the ball gets put in play and you swing around as he goes from first to third. It's some of the coolest views, I think, of a baseball game to be able to see that close from that angle. I have come close to knocking into the light pole. That's my most dangerous one, is knocking into the light poles around the stadium or the netting around the foul, around the backstop.
Do you have spare drones just in case you don't make it to the right spot and you nail a pole or the ball nails? I mean, it's just like, I forgot what game it was, the Blue Jay game where somebody threw a ball and nailed a seagull. I mean,
yeah.
What are you going to do when that happens?
I think you just got to play the ball as it lies. It's like, what is it, the Tropicana Field. They just, you know, play it off the rafters.
Right.
It hits the catwalk. It's the weirdest thing.
Keep it in play. If it hits the drone, ball's in play.
Anything else for the Wizard of the Sky?
Well, yeah, I was very curious about that drone. So thank you for answering that for me. But more than anything, no, I just want to say, you know, thanks to, you know, you and everybody with the Bananas for you guys just being accessible this week. And I've got, you probably heard it, I got this 6-month-old beagle running around here. So trying to give her a treat so she doesn't bark at me. But we go over to that dog park over by in the field every day. It's so much fun because every now and again, some of the guys are over there taking BP. And I just hope to get over there to a game this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're looking forward to it. Ready to be back in the ballpark and have everyone back at Grayson Stadium.
All right. And let's plug this Banana Bananas. How can they get into Baseball Insiders? How can they find out more information?
Yeah, go to the website and get on the waiting list. If you're looking for tickets, there's going to be obviously very limited this summer. So get on the waiting list for tickets. If you want to watch it live, be a part of Bananas Insiders and watch the streaming if you can't get tickets. So, yeah, get on the list, go on the website, and that's all the information for tickets so we can hopefully have a decent attendance this summer.
I think you guys will do well because, you know, the city will let you have some more people in there, and I think hopefully by the time we get close to playoff time, you'll be almost at full capacity. And I know I told Biko doesn't know what it's like when there are 4,000 people.
No.
No clue.
I've almost forgotten what it's like. It's been a while. I'm ready to work back towards that.
Wow, that one World City Tour must have made you feel good.
Yeah, Mobile, Alabama. We got to see Hank Aaron's home there. You know, he's from Mobile. It was amazing. There was 7,000 people over two nights in Mobile. You know, it was an experience that we never could imagine that we would be able to go on the road and take this show, this circus of baseball players to another city. And we just found out that, 9 of those players have just signed independent contracts, which is amazing to know. And 2 of them will be on the, Team Israel, team for the Olympics, which is pretty cool as well. Ooh. So, you know, we've got talent. We've got entertainers. It's all a circus, I think.
Got it all.
Jared, appreciate it. Enjoy what you're doing, and we love it. And once again, as always, go Bananas.
See you guys. Go Bananas.
Thanks, Bananas. Jared. I mean, he's been there from day one, Kyle.
Yeah.
And he loves what he's doing, and you know, it's just marvelous. And we got to get into some Grayson Stadium trivia on one of our shows to see how much you know. Who roamed that field? Who was in that locker room, the hollow grounds of Grayson Stadium here in Savannah, Georgia? They opened up in what year, buddy? This doesn't count in our quiz.
Okay, this doesn't count on our quiz. Now, the grandstand itself was 1941. However, if you look at the front entrance and you look at the old wooden area, you know, in the grandstand and the mezzanine over there, that's 1903.
Well, I got 1926, so we got to look it up.
Yeah, it was about different. We got to take a look at this because I will say there is a picture, and I mean, I can't even remember how small the back fence was, but somebody colorized a picture of Shoeless Joe Jackson playing for the Savannah Indians circa 1910 before he got signed with the Philadelphia A's. Nice. And people forget he played for them, but the picture, it's awesome. I'm like, wow. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why you're the baseball fanatic. So we'll get into it. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, it's time to end the show. It's time to go 3 innings, okay, of trivia. It's the coach versus the fanatic. I ask him 3 questions. He asked me 3 questions. And after 17 shows, I finally beat him last week. So, you know what? I'll be the visitor today. You start with your questions.
Okay. All right. Question 1. Who was the first major league player to have his jersey number retired?
I got to go with, they say I look like him. I got to go with the Bambino, Babe Ruth, number 3.
Very good guess. That would have been the second one. The first one, 1939, Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig, number 4.
Number 4, the Iron Horse. Okay.
I'm the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Yep. Get that
all right. All right, let me get my innings inning here. So we got coach, we got the fanatic. I get a 0 for the top of the first inning. Okay, we go to the bottom of the first. Okay, you talked about it. Ohtani had a bomb for a home run. So who was the last AL starting pitcher to homer to hit a home run. Let me frame this right. To homer against another AL team, who was the last pitcher to do this?
This is a tough one. Yeah, this is a very tough one. Oh man.
Ohtani hit a bomb. Well, who was the last one to hit a bomb in the American League for an American League team against another American League team?
Okay, and this is this going in the Wayback Machine here?
Nah, we'll go right before the DH started. 1972.
Oh man. Oh, that's tough.
Okay.
Catfish Hunter.
It's a tough one. It's an obscure one. The Baltimore Orioles, Rorick Harrison on October 3rd, 1972, against the Cleveland Indians.
Wow. And that you got me, man. That's obscure even for me.
Okay, let's go.
Second one. Who was the first pitcher to retire with over 1,900 walks to his name? This man walked 1,900.
I have no clue. I'm going to go with Gaylord Perry.
Okay, good guess. Nolan Ryan. Now, nobody's even in the building with him on walks. Keep in mind, he walked 2,795 batters over his 27-year career. But keep in mind, he played for some absolutely horrendous California Angel teams. And I mean, early on, some really bad Astro teams. And, you know, and of course, you know, the only ring he ever got was with the Miracle Mets. But you know what they used to say in California? They used to say Tanana and Ryan and 2 days of crying back when they had the 4-man rotation, because they were god awful. But anyway, he still struck out over 5,000. So, okay, I got to get a point here or get a run here. All right, what you got?
Okay, and we know that Miguel Cabrera is on the verge of getting 3,000 hits with 500 home runs, right?
Right.
Okay, so he became the third player with 350 home runs for the Detroit Tigers.
Right.
Who are the other two Tigers that have 350 or more home runs?
Okay, Darrell Evans and... Hank Greenberg.
Not even close, buddy. I can't believe me. It's 0-0 going into the third inning. Al Kaline with
39
and Norm the Man Cash with
73. Oh my gosh. Okay, you said. Okay, yeah. So I was about to say, thought you said 350 for a career.
Miguel Cabrera became the third player with 300 home runs with the Tigers. Who are the other two who hit 350 or more?
Okay, I just needed some clarification. All right, you got me. That was done.
Go back to the replay, okay?
Okay. All right, so we got that. And let's see. My final question for you. The most ejections for a manager in a season is 13. This is tough to do.
No, it's not.
Well, okay, fine. Anyway, point is, who was it? Who has the most ejections?
Earl Weaver.
Oh, I knew you were going to go Earl Weaver. You got to go way back. John Muggsy McGraw with 13.
McGraw.
You mentioned Earl Weaver. He had 91 in his career. That's the American League record. Bobby Cox eclipsed him with Atlanta. He's in the hundreds. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of names you could have thrown out there. All right. So I got you shut out here. I got to answer something or it's a draw, and I don't care for that. So.
All right. Well, we can go to a tiebreaker quickly. We got to keep to our 45-minute time limit here. Which team, okay, we're talking all opening day facts, which team has the best winning percentage in opening day games? We know the Braves don't, okay? Which team in Major League Baseball, not AL or NL, has the best winning percentage in opening day games?
Okay, so you are saying – daggone it. All right, so you're saying, you know, just overall this counts for AL and NL. Okay. So who has for opening day winning percentage? I'm going to go Cincinnati Reds.
That's a good guess. But you'll never believe it. They've been around since 1962. The amazing New York Mets. Do you believe they have a 661 winning percentage on opening day? They're 39-20 on opening day.
Wow. The Mets have screwed me over again. It just keeps happening. Oh, my gosh. All right. I thought you would have at least gotten one of those right.
I thought you would get one of them right, too. All right, tiebreaker, quick. Let's go. I'll go me first.
Yeah. Okay. So, Hall of Famer John Smoltz was originally a draft pick of what American League team?
Say that again.
John Smoltz, before being acquired by the Braves, was a draft pick of what American League team? Who was he signed by?
I got to go Cleveland Indians.
Detroit Tigers, his hometown team. All right.
I know this will give you the win. Okay. Who has the most opening day starts among active pitchers?
Among active pitchers.
Active.
I'm going to go Clayton Kershaw.
Wow, we're really on the snide today. Justin Verlander with 12.
Oh, my God. Okay, fine. Look, this is a draw. I'm getting frustrated here. Oh, my gosh, Coach. I cannot believe that happened.
All right. And take care of that doggy right there. Give that doggy a biscuit.
Oh, I got to take this dog for a walk. She's losing. So
give her a biscuit.
I just did. Fine, I'll get her another one. You talk about something. Hang on.
Once again, it's the Who's On First Baseball Podcast. You're just going to love live podcast. Okay, the fanatic has to take care of his dog. But once again, we'll be here every week, every Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll post a new podcast about what's going on in Major League Baseball, what's going on with the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, and, of course, the Savannah Bananas. Going to be a regular because the Bananas rule the world here in Savannah, Georgia, as far as baseball goes. And then, of course, we'll get into a little trivia, which last week I won. This week is the 18th episode that we've done this. It's a draw. I think this is the first time we ever had a draw.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, my stats right now, I am 16-1-1.
Yep.
So, you know what? Whatever. You got me this week. You got me.
Yes, I'll be like those bums. I like that 1-16-1. I like that. That sounds good, okay? But, you know, 1-16-1 could equal 162, you know what I mean? So
yeah, that's true.
All right, remember, we're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Baseball's been very good to me. The Braves come back. They had a day off yesterday because of COVID-19 at the Nationals. They'll play today at 4:05. They'll be back with a doubleheader tomorrow against the Nationals up there in Washington, D.C. 12:05 first game, about 4 o'clock second game. Starting tomorrow, the 19th hole at Coach's Corner. Our fifth show, it's Facebook Live, YouTube Live. The Herb Brothers talk all things Masters. They got a lot of special guests coming. So please tune in or come out to Coaches and watch what these guys do. Other than that, you got anything, buddy?
No, everything's going good right now. I got a crazy little beagle right now, I'll tell you that. But hey, another great show. We'll get back to it next week. Hopefully we got some W's to talk about for the Braves.
And like Ernie Banks used to say, the Braves are going to do it tomorrow. Let's play two. It's a beautiful day. To play too.
Beautiful day for baseball.
Okay, like we say every week, whatever you're doing today, always sit in the park until next week. May it be your best week ever. We're out of here. Remember, mask up, wash those hands, social distance, take the dog out for a walk, and of course, it's the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast.